These things are not something which can be regulated or controlled by the human mind. So it's a matter of the heart. The heart doesn't follow the head in this matter. So it's not like I must have a partner, I want a partner, I should get a partner. It shouldn't be like that. There's a joy of being alone. There's a joy of togetherness. Neither. There is only joy of the divine which is best. In which case, alone and togetherness is all the same. So we can take start from here. Have we already started?
Yes.
Okay. So, joy of togetherness. So it's about the future of relationships. This is something which we don't normally consider, and we see a lot of changes going around and we feel disoriented, confused, because the old patterns are broken. Everything has been broken actually, and the new are yet to emerge, or they are emerging. One can see and read through it. But like everything else, Mother and Sri Aurobindo has spoken about this also. What do we really expect? What is going to happen in the new world in terms of human relationship? Now, more specifically about a man-woman relationship, one thing is very clear. It will be a relationship of equality. That's something which is already taken, established. So those fixed norms that, you know, a woman has to be in the house and the man has to be working, all that is gone. It's already gone. And Sri Aurobindo and the mother have initiated this process. Sri Aurobindo, in one of his Mahavakyas, where he says that in 1928, that the world is changing so much that a lady would not need to ask her husband for coming or going anywhere, because this was one of the queries that one of the women sadhikas had, that I have to ask, it's so difficult. And he said, don't worry, because this lady wanted the birth as a man. He said, that's not necessary, world is changing, I am changing the world only. You don't have to ask specifically for you to change. But this is disorienting to many old school people. Everything is disorienting to the old school people, because the world is changing very fast. So what is the future of relationship? I'll just read a few things from Mother and Sri Aurobindo. There was a series of questions which were asked from the mother, by the mother, to the mother. These questions were asked to the mother in 1960, within 4 years of the supramental manifestation and within few months of the first anniversary. So it's not like much later, and see how far seeing her vision is. So the disciple asks, in reference to the view of some modern social thinkers expressing fear of the possible breakdown and disappearance of the family system, you have remarked that this breakdown was and is still an indispensable movement to bring humanity to a higher and broader realization. It's very interesting, because the family system is about the physical family of origin. And while it supports when the child is small, but it can also become something that stifles the further expansion. There are so many families I know where the child is held back after the child has entered adolescence and young age, because the family does not like, because it contradicts the family values, because there are issues within, you know, their expectations from the child. So all this becomes a challenging movement, especially when evolution is the age of evolution, not the age of preservation. So evolution means rapid breakdown of things and new things coming up together. So the disciple says, this raises some important questions which I state below for your clarification. The first question is, do you consider this dissolution of the family system indispensable only for the few exceptional individuals who follow some high mental or spiritual ideal, or also for the general humanity? So this is the question. The mother says, yes, only for the few exceptional individuals who follow some high mental or spiritual ideal. So if you have a high ideal, it can come in the way, because family traditions, family customs, family way of life sometimes can come in the way of the soul sleep, aspiration. And I think many of us have faced it, where even in the best of instances, most supportive families, even to come to Pondicherry, at least in the Indian context, now things are different and some are very blessed, but it's not easy. I remember even as a Air Force officer, a doctor, being married, not like I had to not exactly tell a lie, but keep mum about my holiday and coming to Pondicherry. Because the natural expectation was, if I have a holiday, I am expected to visit home and in-laws' home. Neither of us wanted to go. So I had to do something which because they expected a letter every week. Those were not the days of phone. So I used to write, because 1 month we would come to Pondicherry. So I would write 4 letters, give it to my friend. Behind I will write in pencil the dates on which they have to be posted. So he would, my batchmate, and he would rub the date from behind and post it. Now, well, technically it's not the best way to do it. And of course, once we had a very strange event also, that my in-laws actually came unannounced, because they can come unannounced. We were in Pondicherry. When we landed, we saw somebody's already inside the house. Because there used to be the latch lock. Means you lock it, it's open. We used to leave a key with someone, because in case of any necessity. So we were surprised. So we discovered that our in-laws have already come. Luckily, they had come just 1 day before. So we could say, yeah, just shoot his leaf, he managed to go there. So this was the situation in India, this 1980s. And you can imagine, I mean, it's not easy. Because family expects that they don't say no. They were nice people. They were, in fact, they used to, very traditional religious people. Later on, they understood our need, but still, family first and the divine afterwards. And once this fire awakens, very difficult to manage it, because you know, you just can't, you're like a fish out of water. So this is a situation. And so for them who have a high mental and spiritual ideal, yes, one has to go. And this is not something new in Indian setting. We know that Mirabai, when she asked, have spoken of it. Actually, this ideal is always hinted, that dharma first, God first, all the great saints, Ramayana, Vibhishan has to, you know, follow Rama rather than his own elder brother Ravan. Of course, there the choice was little easy, because Ravan was clearly on the side of adharma and he had kicked him out. But often the choice is not so easy. But this is a choice to be made, because otherwise how does one take a leap? That's why the mother says, one who has turned toward the divine, his primary duty is toward the divine. All other duties are subordinated and secondary. Very difficult, but that's how things are. And I mean, mother herself showed the way. Even Shri Krishna, all these great beings have done that. It's not something very new that she is saying. Shri Krishna, when he was in the Mahabharata war, during that time, there was something happening in his family, which was not a very pleasant thing. They needed him. But for him, this was much more important. I think it was Pradyumna, some event was taking place where his intervention would have been much more helpful, but he has to be with the war, finish the war. So always, this is the ultimate ideal. If you follow a spiritual ideal, that supersedes everything else. That's what she is saying. So the second is logical question. If you advocate a complete dissolution of the family system for the entire humanity, she has not said it for entire humanity to start with, but the questioner is asking, do you consider it advisable for it to happen even before the new process of birth by direct materialization has been normalized on earth? First time, the mother is not contradicting it. Mark it. The person is asking that family is required to have children. But somewhere the disciple either has a hint about it or has discussed it or read it, we don't know, or intuitively feels it, that probably in future we will have a direct materialization. And Sri Aurobindo hints at it in 1949 writings. He speaks about it. And we have again stories of Nar Narayan, where one of the apsaras, she is brought out from the body of the rishi. This was known actually. Yogi is blessing. There was a term for it called niyog, where even without this actual sexual process, child could be conceived. I know of, you know, couple of instances. I shouldn't be saying, because once I said and somebody got after me, okay, tell me. But I know of instances, genuine instances. So there are possibilities which we are not aware of right now. And so when the person says the new process of birth by direct materialization has been normalized on earth, the mother is not saying, who told you about the new process of birth, materialization, who has put these ideas? No. She is silent on this issue. That silence is pregnant with a deep meaning. But she answers about the family part. So that means this is something which is very much possible in the future. Maybe not so distant future. So the mother's answer is, more liberty and plasticity in the system are advisable. Fixed rules are harmful to evolution. I would not interpret it. Read your own meanings. The only thing I can imagine is like when you read the Mahabharata, it's unbelievable how the three great ones, Pandu, Dhritarashtra and Vidur, were born. It would be scandalizing if you really look at it. That's why Mahabharata is so complex. And while many youngsters relate to it, but it's so difficult to understand and explain, that how can sage Vyas bring children? So here it is about the dissolution of the family system. She is saying there should be great degree of liberty and plasticity, and all institutions is going to happen. Now we may debate about it. There are people who cry about it, who feel sorry about it. Well, today itself somebody asked a question that mother has spoken about hero warriors, may we fight, make of us the hero warriors, past that endures again. So will everything go away in the past? I said it is gone. And divine does not consult us when he removes it. When Krishna is asked, Gandhari may feel sorry about it. She curses Krishna. There are many others who are unhappy about it. But Sri Krishna simply says, I am here to destroy these people. Finished. And he didn't just destroy a people. He destroyed all that they represented. And the logic of it was very simple, because it had become dharmasya glani. Dharmasya glani is basically what was valid at one point of time, that becomes an institution for evil at another point of time. So people often ask, now Sri Aurobindo has come, the mother and Sri Aurobindo are saying these new things. So my answer is very simple. I'm speaking from the Indian tradition point of view. Did Rama emulate Parashurama? Both are warriors. Both have stood against evil. But no, there is a difference. Even Parashurama understands. Rama didn't emulate Parashurama. Rama set a new standard, yardstick, benchmark. Did Krishna emulate Rama? No. Sri Krishna sets a completely new standard, so much so that Bhurishrava, at that point of time, on the battlefield, he says all kinds of things against Sri Krishna. He says that you have corrupted the morals of the youth. Something similar to what Socrates had to go through. But Bhurishrava saying didn't matter. Krishna went ahead with what he did. Now we see still greater new age. Both Rama and Krishna broke the old institutions and brought in something new. They brought in more liberty and plasticity to an extent. But now is the age when mother is saying more liberty and plasticity in the system are advisable. What system? Marriage and family. Fixed rules are harmful to evolution. So if we want to stick on, stay on with the past, well, so this was my answer. I said, you may like it, you may not like it. You may complain, you may say divine is doing something wrong. He is not going to consult you. The past is breaking right before our eyes. And we may cry. You want to hold on to the past? Fair enough. You are free to do that. But the evolutionary current is going to wash it away. Because when the divine storm and the flood comes, nothing remains. So we have to go with them. If we want to progress, liberty and plasticity. This is something which even in education, in job, everywhere, this becomes the demand, need of the age. So then the person asks, do you also consider the abolition of the marriage system as equally indispensable to the abolition of the family system for the higher development of humanity? See, why these questions? Because marriage comes is a package. It's not just husband, wife. There is a difference between living together and marriage. Marriage is a formation. Marriage is a social formation. It's not just about being together. So it comes with a package. It's like, you know, you go to a hotel. Sorry. you buy a dosa. Okay. Or you buy a platter. Now platter may have dosa. But platter has many other things. So if you say that what is the difference? Ultimately, whether I take dosa or I take a platter. Well, if you take a platter, of course, nobody will stand with a stick on your head that you better finish everything. But nevertheless, it is like that. So marriage, at least in India, has always been a marriage of families. And not just of man and a woman. So with it comes expectation. And so she is saying you have to have a great degree of liberty and plasticity. So long as the new process of birth has not been normalized. See, again he is asking. And mother is not contradicting him. Mother is not saying, no, no, no. Who told you about the new process of birth? Sri Aurobindo talks about it in 49. There are things we are going to see, and this is not about cloning. Cloning is one of the things that people think about, but there will be process. The moment we know how life materializes or condenses into the physical, Sri Aurobindo hints at it in one of his early writings in the Upanishads, that the day mankind discovers how life became matter, that day we will know the secret of creating living beings or living forms. We are trying from matter to life. Can we put matter under certain conditions and life can emerge? No, that's not how it works. Because if you see the descending involutionary process, life, then it precipitates as matter. So life is involved in it. That's how it can evolve in certain conditions. But originally it's life that became matter. So if man will, can discover means he is bound to discover ways and means by which life, out of life energy, a very conscious, deliberate handling of life energy, you can create a form. Mother actually created a form and continued for 6 years, some few years, or few months, I have forgotten, but either 6 months or 5 years, I may be mistaken. And it continued to work, operate, go out. So there is a process which one day mankind will discover, because people often ask what will happen to children. Don't worry. There will be other ways, better ways. When you want to create a form, you can create a form. If you have a completely mind of truth, mind of light, and the life energy, so you can use it. So you can use it to precipitate matter. So the person is asking, so long as the new process of birth has not been normalized, would not the present manner of sexual procreation continue? Again, very specific question. In that case, would not some form of marriage relationship be necessary? Look at her answer. Marriage will always take place, but legal ceremonies must not be enforced. Hold your breath. To avoid illegality. Marriage will always take place, but legal ceremonies must not be enforced to avoid illegality. So very often what happens, man will erect that this is a rule, and then if you trespass that rule, you are considered to be doing something wrong. People often ask me this question. So I say, but who made the rule? It's not a divine rule. It's not a divine rule. Of course, there are some religions where they make it like a divine rule. But no, it's not a divine rule. It's a man-made rule meant to organize society in a certain period of time. It's okay in that period of time. But there is another period of time when the rule becomes... this is dharma siglani, actually. When something which was good for a society has become defunct. Again, the person is asking about, so long as the new process of birth has not been normalized. This I find very interesting. And not once does the mother say, why are you asking about new process of birth? Have I ever said anywhere? No. And the children continue to be born through the present sexual process. Is not the family life and atmosphere best suited to their upbringing, especially in their early formative years? The other alternative is to provide for their care and upbringing through some other agency like the state nurseries, as was advocated by some communist thinkers. Also, we have people like Aldous Huxley, and you know, there have been books like that. But this view has not found many supporters, for it has been realized that the tender and affectionate care which the young children need could best be provided only in the intimate atmosphere of the family home by the parents. First of all, this is not very true that every home there is that tender and affectionate care. It should be. But it is not. Most homes, I can say this with some authority being on this side of the table, they squarrel. It's not very healthy. It should be like that. I have grown up in that tender affectionate. So I can say that yes. Like other day somebody was saying, I said, only once did my mother slap me. I never received any slapping from anyone or scolding. Nee, never. That was because I got late. They were worried, really worried about my safety. That was tar. Otherwise, never, not even... raising the voice, not because I was a good boy who never, no. Somehow they had, I don't know what they did, but I don't have a single memory of being. So there have been, not that, it's not possible. But what I see more and more, that children are reared more like, you know, there are people who adopt this idea that, they are children, okay, bade ho jayenge, they'll grow up. There is this idea of conscious parenting, conscious conception. It's not true. It's not there in average human being's mind. Average human being, you have a child. Why? Because when he grows up, he will be my old age. Is that demand draft or what? Investment for old age. Sad story, but it's unfortunately true. When I am old, he will look after me. I had never felt such a helpless, hopeless thought. Why should somebody look after you? Anyways, community living is the answer to that. Not children growing up and looking after you. Community living is the thing of the future. Commune, Shobindo says that, you know, villages will change into communes. But villages were like that. You know, most of the people, when they were away in villages, people looked after each other when children, you know, when people grew old. So, but here talking about the intimate, tender affection. One wishes that this is true. If this is true, then for the sake of the young children at least, would not the family be necessary? Until the new method of birth becomes possible and normal in future. Again, the same question. And mother is not saying that, well, such a birth will not be. She is silent on that, but answering about the family. So, it's again very interesting, because mother would often hear when children came for admission, she was not very happy if they were with the family. And she did say that family passes on many atavistic characteristics. And this is so true. Because when we grow up with the family, of course, she is talking about children growing in the ashram atmosphere. And she would say that when they go on holidays, they pick up a lot of bad things. It's so true. If you really look impersonally, without that emotional, sentimental attachment, you would see that it's so true. In home, they pick up many things. I've seen people pick up a way of speaking, rude ways, angry ways. Why? Because parents had that. So, while the merit is, yes, if there is a really conscious family, conscious parenting, wonderful. But let's face the fact that most of the time, the attitude is far from that. So, the mother says, here also, both things must be equally admitted and practiced. There are many cases in which it would be a blessing for the baby to be separated from his parents. What a truth. Like, you may like it, you may not like it. Doesn't matter. These are statements when people say, oh, this, that, I said, you may like it, you may not like it. When the divine says, he says. And the future is not going to consult us. Because it's not we who determine the future, but the Kala Purush, Yuga Purush, the time spirit, the Zeit Geist. And it is already determining it, as Shrivindu says, and has determined it. So we can only try to perceive, understand, go with that, or else we fall back. These are the only two options. So then she says, what are the two things that must go together? A minimum of rules, a maximum of freedom. Evolution can't be other than that. And see, this has come. And parents are very unhappy about it. Because you need space. You need space to make mistakes, errors, learn, or even, well, you may go into the abyss in a particular life. Everything is possible. But even there, sometimes you enter the abyss and pluck a pearl which you could not have found without that. One I remember is a boy who died of cancer at the age of 42. And his father had to, you know, he was studying in school, but he was sent away from the school and got into drugs. You know, freedom, you can misuse. Divine knows all this, but the soul always progresses through everything. We are talking of this at a plane which is very vast. So, then father was very disenchanted. He went through his own turmoil and he was sharing with me when he was 90 or something. Then he was sharing that, you know, when his son died, he was probably 80, I forget the age. So he was saying, you know, after meeting him, I've come back, I have peace in my heart. I said, what happened? He said, you know, Dad, I know I have been a trouble for you all your life. And, you know, with all his habits, vagabond, the way his lifestyle. He said, but I just want to share one thing with you. So he was in both in a remand home and a terminal care. So he said, you know, I was sent from the school. You know that I went and met the mother. He said, yes. Do you know what mother told me? I never shared with anyone. He said, what did mother tell you? He said, mother told me that never hide anything from me. First thing. Second is, remember, the mother always loves you. He says, that truth has sustained me throughout my life. Now imagine, what a priceless pearl. I have seen people doing sadhana. And they have notions of mother punishing, mother angry with you, and all these things. And here is mother telling someone who is apparently vagabond, the mother loves you. And he says, this has helped me throughout my life, through all the troubles of the journey. And second thing, never hide anything from me. I think if a person can learn these two pearls. So we look at life from a very outer point of view, but the divine sees it from a deep depth. So all possibilities, which includes possibilities to err and fall, all possibilities must have equal scope for manifestation. Then humanity will progress more rapidly. This is what is happening. She has seen it in 60. She has not done anything about it. But this is the time spirit. And so this is what we are living in, Gen Z, as it is called. There is a very powerful something for all people, since we are talking about it. You say that you could not bring up your children properly because although you are well educated and cultured, you have no time to spare for them, and that your wife has time but she is uneducated, uncultured, good for nothing. Now, Mahakali, will you tell me who is responsible for her condition? For more than 25 years she has lived with you. What did you do in these 25 years to educate her or give her your culture? Absolutely nothing. Even the idea did not occur to you. You never thought that even if you had given her 1 hour daily for her education, it would have made a big difference in 25 years. For you, she existed only as a machine to look after your comforts and produce your children. You could not take her into your confidence. You could not do anything for her improvement. But there you stand with all your vanity, blaming her for being uneducated and uncultured. I hold you responsible for all her shortcomings. This is too good. So we need to understand that the future is not what I may like it to be. Future is what the divine wants it to be. Jamal.